The scripture lesson is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. And the disciples rejoiced that they had seen the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent to me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Good news. The Apostle Paul says the Holy Spirit can do great things, like activate us so that our differences work together for the church, much like the parts of the human body, some of which, like the eyes and the hands, don't look at all alike or have a function at all similar. But together they make the body amazing in what it can do. And yet a body of people, even the church, is not quite like the human body. We do not have preset connections. The hip bone is connected to the leg bone that click together automatically like the human body. We have to forge and reshape the fit between one another over and over again. So what divine characteristics does the Holy Spirit call into play that help us make those adjustments, that keep the church a body of people happy to be with and work with one another, whether it's members, no matter how different, are made whole, so they can reach out to the desperate peoples of the world? Well, one characteristic the Holy Spirit gifts us is creativity, like the creativity that God used to make worlds come into being out of nothing. The other divine characteristic is the willingness to change. Yes, the willingness to change, because God was willing to change God's very essence for the love of us. Oh, the Trinity has always been there, but not God coming out of his mother's womb wet. Not God with ugly flesh wounds from the crucifixion brought back to the Godhead on Jesus' resurrection body. These wounds show us how much God is willing to forgive, how much God is able to connect with us, because God also had wounds to overcome. God's love never changes. But God does change whatever it takes to get that love through to each of us and our individual mindsets. Much as we like to believe it, love isn't a word you just say and it happens. Look at the transformation our inventive God made to love us, from sitting on a heavenly throne to a child in a food trough to a mangled man on a cross, who rose in victory over everything that conspired to strip away his love and turn it to hate. But how many of us love someone enough even to rearrange the way we see things in order to better appreciate what that person is really about? Take the story I once heard about the new school principal who arrived to meet her teachers on roller skates the first day, and thereby showing off how much more clever she was than anybody else, said in just that tone. But perhaps her real intent was to do something silly that would break the ice in a similar way to someone else starting off with a joke. seeing it as a fun and silly gesture to break the ice instead of somebody trying to impress people with how clever they were, might require the rearrangement of the way we take in things. In the Bible and life today, Jesus heals the people held back by our first impressions when he switches on our imagination and turns around our usual idea of things. The effect is not so different from what happens when we rearrange the furniture in our homes to include something new we just bought. When we put a new lamp next to the sofa, it looks drab, and we think, we should take it back. But when we see that lamp next to an armchair, it's totally transformed and looks beautiful. Letting the Holy Spirit in to transform how we see someone else might prevent us from getting angry over something we didn't put in the right context, or it might make us take someone seriously so that they feel loved and they truly belong. That's one of God's greatest miracles. I'm reminded of the prunings we leave by the side of the road. What is more worthless than pruned underbrush ready to be burned? And yet, the makers of these crosses looked at the leavings from pruned olive trees and thought, why, these come from trees prevalent where Jesus lived, and when he walked the earth, he must have touched the same wood as this, especially seeing he was a carpenter. Touching this wood today in something we make could be a physical connection with Jesus. God has given us all a gift of creativity that comes from the very core of God's being, and we can see it in the work of these carvers who took twigs that we would think were too small and thin to make anything from, and using only hand tools, carved them into symbols of one of the most holy events in Christian history. But we don't have to be wood carvers or sculptors to be creative. Adjusting the things that we do and say in order to make room in our lives and our community for people on the sidelines, that's also making very good use of the creativity from our God, who made worlds come into being out of nothing. We have many ways of shutting people out. Sometimes we forget that the person that gets shut out is not likely to feel loved. Letting our likes and dislikes take over can shut people out. Well, what do we do when something somebody says does not capture our attention or is on a subject we consider unexciting? Reimagine, transform it, rather than turn away or throw it out. You might be throwing out a human soul with it. Instead, find something, anything, in what you're hearing and remake it into something that you are interested in or that enhances the direction you're dying to go in. You don't have to take up the whole thing, just a part of it. But by making something of your own from it, you have let the person in front of you touch your life. And I have an example. Football. Watching football in the late 60s with my boyfriends bored me to tears. The TV cameras couldn't do many close-ups of the action in those days, so all it looked to me was players running and getting into big clumps, and then running again and getting into still bigger clumps. And I thought, how can anybody be so interested in that? Well, I love to strategize. And once I realized that football is very much a game of strategy and saw it played out at ground level in high school football, I began to love football. You can imagine how many people I let into my life when I realized that. And the funny thing is, once you see value in something or someone that you thought was worthless, you've given yourself hope. Hope that there is something worthwhile in that side of ourselves we don't like much, that causes us to lose points, that holds us back from getting over the hoops society places in our way. This side of ourselves we really don't want to know about, and we don't want others to know about, especially not God. So whenever I see through an assumption or a prejudice, it frees me to enjoy more people and things than I ever thought I could, including myself. Like the blocks in an illustrated Rubik's Cube, whose face comes up first. That bias side seems so vivid, so straightforward, it blocks my vision and makes all else seem limited, impossible, dead end. But by turning on my imagination, God rotates that block so that other sides come up, one of which includes an escape from that limiting thought or dead end situation. That's when I know that what I struggle with can be made whole in the strangest way. But none more surprising than the reversals that occur in the Bible. For instance, by being born in a stable and becoming a refugee in Egypt as a child, and as an adult allowing himself to be treated like a criminal and herded to death, Jesus obliterates our usual idea of who is last and who is first. And that thought makes me stop ranking myself and others. Then I feel whole and comfortable in my own skin and able to reach out to others without making sure that they meet my preset expectations or be like me. Why not see if you can find some healing switcheroos in the Bible yourself? Sometimes we wish we could just relive our golden days. But sometimes memories in which we walk in places and see loved ones that aren't there anymore can leave us in limbo, and we end up half-heartedly just going through the motions and not really living. But memories can spice up the present if we stir them into new recipes where they are totally transformed. You see, the ministerial stole I'm wearing is part of the material from my wedding dress. I got my dress from a store where you could select the fabric and style and have your dress made from that. My fiancé sneaked into the store and asked if he could have the fabric left over. And on our wedding day, he came up flipping his tie and said, "Is this familiar?" He had his tie made from wedding dress material. So we got married, he in his tie and I in my dress. As a widow, I found a large scrap left that I had kept in a drawer for years. I had creative friends, so I asked them to make anything they wanted from the material, and I would pay them for it. So they made this for a Christmas present, saying it could be either a stole or a scarf. And even though it didn't seem like quite a legitimate stole because it had no symbol for Christ, it did have meandering lace that I could say represented the journey that we take with God. It became a show and tell in my most popular sermon because I always said, "So you see how this piece for my wedding dress has been totally transformed into a joyful incentive for worshiping and praising God with you, dear people, now." I preached about it in so many churches, I got pen marks on it. And when I tried to get them off, I wore a hole in it. And then I saw a strip of lace in a store, and I thought I could make cross pieces from this lace and cover up this tear. So now this is a full-fledged stole with a cross symbolizing Christ's love on it. And what made this stole whole? A tear that could have gotten it thrown away. God has some strange ways of making people whole. God can make you whole or a broken relationship whole using the very thing you plan to throw away, like this scrap from my wedding dress. Check it out in your lives.